Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. I'm Anne. I want to welcome Coach Sarah with an H today. She'll be doing a live interactive webinar on Monday, August 28th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called Loving Yourself Fiercely, Healing Our Self-Worth and Self-Image. Sarah, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Anne.
So why is this topic of self-worth and self-image so important to you?
I've met a lot of women in this area. They are brilliant, beautiful, caring, thoughtful, amazing women, and almost without fail, they don't see themselves this way because of the trauma, the gaslighting, and the comparison that women inevitably do to acting out partners or to pornography. They see themselves almost like damaged goods. And that breaks my heart. That these women have gotten so disconnected from who they are that they can't see how amazing they are. One of my passions and deep desires is to help women see themselves differently, that they can begin to recognize that they are forces to be reckoned with, that they're loving, they're giving, funny, so funny. I laugh so much with my clients all the time. They're intelligent, that they can accomplish so much, that they're beautiful. It's my opinion that once women really truly connect with these truths, that no one can take this away from them again. Because when we begin to know our worth, we won't settle for less than being treated the way we're worthy of being treated. I'm convinced that our self-image, the way we view ourselves, is directly correlated to our self-worth.
Going along with that, how is the self-worth and self-image of partners of porn addicts impacted differently than other women?
Humanity in general, we do a pretty good job of comparing already. Then you add on our society, our culture, and it does a really good job, unfortunately, of projecting messages and images that create a lot of inferiority complexes for women. These messages, they're everything from how a woman should look to how she should act, the way she should walk, what kinds of jobs we should have, right? Like I think about the small amount of women that go into engineering, right? Mm-hmm. Why? There are so many brilliant women that could be accomplishing so much, but there are messages even to what kinds of interests we should have, hobbies. So we already have that as women in general that we're carrying around. Where our women are impacted differently is those comparisons are really broad. It's not about you in particular, Anne. You know, you shouldn't have the job that you should have. It's like women in general shouldn't have certain jobs or should look a certain way. When we experience the betrayal that we experience and the trauma because of our spouse's acting out partners, the way they've been potentially fantasizing about people or pornography, it becomes very personal. It's not just somebody out there saying an image is what we should be like or look like or how we should be sexually with our person. It's our spouse entertaining these thoughts of somebody other than us or actually being with somebody other than us. And so that comparison goes from being out there to right in our face, right next to us, right? Literally right next to us. The betrayal can make it feel like we're not being chosen. An image or another person is being chosen over us. When there's an addiction component, it's not always literally about choice because of the compulsion factor, but that's the way it still feels to us or can feel to us. Many women struggle with connecting to that extra added thing of not being desirable enough. And this can be a huge hit to how we value ourselves and how we see ourselves.
There's a quote from Lundy Bancroft who talks about abuse, who says that no woman can be understood by the man who is bullying her. He just cannot see her for who she is. And so his perceptions about her and the way that he interacts with her is not a reflection of who she really is. Because to him, she's not a person. It's a reflection of himself. So he can't see her clearly. And I think that's one reason why women feel so terrible is because that's how they're perceived by their addict spouse.
Yes. One of the things that has been really extremely healing for me has been the validation of people who see me and know me. Mm-hmm. We can and we need to get to the place where we are okay with self-validation, mm-hmm. right? Where I don't need the praises of other people to believe that I am good and that I am healthy and strong and intelligent and the things that I love about myself. But there's power being seen and valued and affirmed by somebody who can see those things in you, being known. We need to be known and seen. And when we're not by our spouse, like you said in that brilliant quote, because it's so true, the impact that that has on us when what's being reflected back to us is this person who doesn't see those things and doesn't affirm those things. What choice do we have other than to start to think like, okay, so they're not seeing this in me. Why not? Is it not really there? That's the gaslighting effect there, I think, too. Mm-hmm.
That's one reason I think support groups are so important, because women in a support group see you for who you really are and they have compassion and love, and you start feeling that love reflected back to you. Being accepted and loved is such a different feeling than being hated or feeling contempt from your husband or feeling rejected. I love our support groups that help women to start feeling that so they can start gaining that self-love again. I think it's really hard when you're isolated to do that. For you, was there one thing that stands out that played a major role in helping you get to this place of loving yourself fiercely?
Yeah, and I feel like I need to comment on what you said in the lead into that question, because that is a major thing that contributed and played a role into me getting to the place where I could love myself fiercely. And I see it all the time in my support groups. I love my individual coaching. I get to dig in deep and do some amazing work with women, but I can't replicate the energy and the healing that happens in the group context because of what you just named, because of women hearing how other women see them. Mm-hmm. There's such healing in that. And I see it all the time. I see it group after group after group, where we hear each other and we see each other with loving eyes, with true eyes, with eyes that don't have an agenda, you know, with, mm-hmm. with eyes of clarity. When we reflect back to each other how we see each other, that takes root in our hearts and it begins to strip away the damage that the lies have done to us. Absolutely, for me, one of the major roles has been when I've gotten to the place where I gave myself permission to like things about myself and begin to name them and say, you know what, I really think that I'm funny. And I really love that about myself.
And I do too. And I also really love that about you.
Thank you. And my friends be like, yeah, duh. Yeah, we love that too. And have that affirmed, right? Yeah. Because when you're in a relationship where everything about you is kind of made smaller, mm-hmm. you lose touch with that and you stop believing it about yourself. So absolutely, the groups that I've been a part of in my own personal healing have been completely huge and instrumental in that piece. And the only other thing I'll name right now, I'll get into it more in the actual workshop. There's a blog by Glennon Doyle, and it was a huge paradigm shift for me. It's one that helped me see specifically how beautiful, not necessarily that I am, but that this life that I'm creating is. That our focus as women can often so be on the wrong things. It can be about how we're carrying ourselves, how we're dressing, the image that we project, instead of this amazing, beautiful life that we are creating through the way we love our children, through the way we love our friends, through the way we give to others. We are creating beautiful lives.
Yeah.
It's like we've flipped things, right? Uh-huh. Flipping them back is a huge paradigm shift, and I love it. It was transformative for me.
Awesome. Well, hopefully women will register for your webinar so that they can get more information and have the same epiphanies that you've had.
Yes.
When in your coaching did this particular concept of loving yourself start to be something that you focused on?
Early on in my coaching here in Austin, I did a retreat for my ladies. As I was putting it together, I started picturing each woman I was writing them some welcome letters, and I was picturing them and picturing their relationships and the struggles that they had been through. And one thought kept playing over and over and over in my mind. The thought was, she deserves to know what it feels like to be loved well. Mm-hmm. Just that thought. So many of these women did not know what it felt like to be loved well. And the little things, right? Like, I remember one of the things I did was I welcomed them with a little basket with chocolate-covered strawberries that I had made. You know, just little pampering things, right? And the way that when you've been missing that, how huge that is for your self-esteem, for your self-worth. I'm worthy of being loved like this. Like, wow, like this feels amazing. I want more of this. This whole dot connecting thing started to happen for me. The connection of the dots led to, even if our person, the quote unquote addict, is involved in a legitimate recovery and is working hard, it's often a very long road. Sobriety usually trumps the relational work, right? Which we all, yes, want them focused. Please be sober. Like, don't act out. But what that means is the relational stuff can get pushed back. The woman is often still left feeling very lonely, often still not loved very well, because empathy is something that takes a long time to develop. A lot of the relational considerations take a long time to mature in for the addict, who's often stuck at a very young age emotionally. It's really difficult to not internalize this as a worthiness thing, right? Like, not thinking that our worthiness is reflective of how our person treats us. It's hard to not internalize that. So we get used to it. We get used to not being loved well, and we settle for that, or we can. And so again, this often translates to our worthiness. So this was when I first started connecting with it, like seeing how the way that women are being loved can inadvertently lead them into accepting a level of worthiness that is not accurate. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's when I started focusing on very intentionally building my clients up, helping mm-hmm. them really connect with and discover their worth and that they're worthy of being loved well.
Yeah. And I think the key here is that you can't experience or expect other people to do this all the time, right? I mean, you're always going to be let down. So loving yourself fiercely is the answer to this, because you can feel that love from other women and feel supported. Mm-hmm. And that can help you on your journey to loving yourself. One of my favorite friends in one of the groups I've attended, she said, I bought myself a wedding ring. Mm-hmm. I decided that I am going to be my best partner, and I'm going to love myself like I've always wanted someone else to love me. So she bought herself this ring, and mm-hmm. I think she bought herself some chocolates, and she just started being like, I'm going to take care of myself. And the change I've seen with her, she's still in the process of recovery, but just that little shift, mm-hmm. I could see some brightness in her eyes and some happiness that she hadn't felt in a long time.
Yep. Yep. The analogy that I use to kind of explain the difference is, if I'm getting ready to go out girls' night and I'm putting on my new outfit and I'm doing my hair and my makeup, and I look in the mirror and I'm like, dang, I look good. Like, I'm ready to go. Right. And then I see one of my friends and they're like, wow, you look really nice there. I'm like, thanks. You know, I feel really nice. That's me feeling good about myself, my self-worth, my self-image, but yet enjoying and appreciating the validation and the praise of somebody mm-hmm. who recognizes that.
But that core is coming from yourself, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. Same scenario. I'm getting dressed up, new outfit, doing my hair and makeup, going to go out on girls' night. And I look in the mirror and I think, do I look okay? I think I look good, but I'm not sure. And I don't maybe vocalize this, but internally, I don't know if I'm okay with the way that I look or feel until somebody praises me, right? Until I get out and I'm with my girls and one of them says, wow, you look really nice there. And then I say, thank you. You know, I appreciate hearing that. So to me, that's the shift. It's shifting from needing somebody else's recognition and affirmation to enjoying and appreciating mm-hmm. and being grateful for somebody affirming what we are already connected with ourselves. And I do think that strengthens it. But again, there's a difference between needing it and appreciating it.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say is the key to self-worth?
One of the major keys is being able to silence the negative voices, including your own, that are attached to the shoulds or shouldn'ts, especially as it pertains to the things that we like about ourselves. Going back to that funny thing, if I think I'm funny and my sense of humor is very different than somebody else's sense of humor, and that other person, will just hypothetically say it was my ex, had a very different sense of humor and minimized my sense of humor. Like, you shouldn't think that that is funny, or you should think what I'm thinking is funny. Those kind of voices, they can eat away, again, at the way that we view ourselves. Oh, maybe I shouldn't think that that was funny, or maybe I should think that that is funny, but it's not to me. And so trying to, like, fit ourselves into these things that we are or we aren't based on the shoulds or the shouldn'ts. It's really important to be aware of those two words specifically and make a little mental note. Anytime we hear them or say them to ourselves, I shouldn't think this, I shouldn't like this, I shouldn't feel this way, I should like this, those can eat away at our self-worth because we're trying to force ourselves to be something that we weren't meant to be.
And I think for the disturbing, maybe, emotions that we feel or the disturbing thoughts, you know, let's just pretend hypothetically that we hate someone and we are disturbed by those feelings, right? It's not fun for us to feel that. And so we think, well, I shouldn't feel this. Rather than trying to deny the feeling, actually accepting it so that you can process it and heal from it is really important.
Yes.
Because otherwise, if you just keep saying, I shouldn't feel this, I shouldn't feel this, I shouldn't feel this, then the processing never happens and you're not able to come to a peaceful or happy resolution about how you want to choose to feel. You might say, okay, I want to choose to feel this, but right now I can't. And so that process is what a coach is for, right?
Yes.
That process of choosing and creating the life that you want and creating the feelings that you want to feel takes a support group. It takes a coach. It takes work, and it is possible. So I don't want people listening to think, oh, well, they're just saying it's okay that Hitler, like, really felt the way he felt, right? Like, no, it's not okay that he felt the way he felt. The way he felt was wrong, but he processed it the wrong way.
No, yeah, man, that's a little bit of a different, you know, kind of section of talking about shoulds and shouldn'ts, because of course you shouldn't kill somebody,
right?
Right.
I mean,
there's definitely absolutes, and one of the things that I love that you just hit on is what I label the curious why. You know, why can be a question of judgment. Why would you do that? Or it can be a question of curiosity. Why would you do that? Just the tone, just the kind of intention behind the why can bring freedom versus judgment, right? So that goes in line with what you were just talking about, which is if I hate somebody, we'll use the example that you just used, instead of trying to say I shouldn't hate somebody, to come in with the curious why and say, why do I feel like I hate this person? That is one of the most powerful things that we can do for ourselves, because it helps us dig down deeper and understand, okay, well, I'm feeling hatred towards this person because they hurt me. So really, this is a hurt response. You get to understand what is underneath it. Or, I wonder why I like this. Maybe I think I shouldn't like dark chocolate because nobody else in my circle of friends likes dark chocolate. I wonder why. Like, you know what I mean? When you get curious with yourself about why you think things the way that you do or feel things the way that you do, it can bring a lot of insight.
If you could say something to the women listening right now regarding self-worth, what would it be?
I love this saying, and I use it again in my workshop because I think it's so, so powerful. Your worthiness is not based on someone else's ability or inability to accept, appreciate, or value you. You are worthy of being cherished and loved well. Start by loving yourself well.
It's a skill that women can learn.
Agreed. It can start, or maybe has to start, with giving ourselves permission. I think a lot of us feel like if we start naming things that we like and love about ourselves, it can almost feel like we're being prideful or arrogant, and it's really not, but we can kind of feel that way. So it feels weird to say with confidence, I like this about myself, and not feel like you're trying to get attention or some of the other negative things that have been said to, in my opinion, keep women feeling small.
Yeah.
Because the more connected we get to what we like about ourselves, the harder we are to control.
Yeah.
Often we have to start by giving ourselves permission to say, you know what? I like this about myself.
And you'll know when you're on the right path, or at least I knew I was on the right path, when I would say it out loud and my friends would say, I do too. That's how I determine safe people from non-safe people. The unsafe people just kind of look at me strange or be like, okay, you know, like, oh, who's prideful now or something. But my true friends who could see me and enjoy that with me, and I could enjoy it with them, you know, they could say, I'm good at that too. And I'd say, oh, we're both good at it. That's so great. That's when I knew I was on the right track, that I was attracting those types of women into my life who could support me and I could support in a healthy way. Sarah, thank you so much for being here today. Again, Sarah's webinar will be Monday, August 28th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. To register, go to btr.org, click on the navigation, and go to schedule and join to register. This podcast is brought to you by your donations. So please, if this podcast is helpful to you, go to btr.org, click on our donate button, and donate today. Also, if this podcast is helpful to you, please rate it on iTunes. Each rating increases our visibility on search engines and helps women who are isolated find us. We appreciate your help getting the word out to other women. Sarah, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Anne, for having me. Always a pleasure.
Until next time, stay safe out there.